Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 466, if you can believe that, Breakman. I'm joined by my trusty cohort, Breakman the Bold. Eric the Great and the Frosty One himself are on assignment. Breakman, how are you feeling?
They're both off at the same time, huh?
Yeah, I know. I know. See, the conspiracy grows, man. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Fishy there. Just stating what we're all thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of before we move on with the show. Mug is going to be here when he can. He works, so he's not a loser like me. You know, he actually works. It's like Breakman. But I will say, Breakman's a better man because he works and he's here all the time. So, you know. It's one of those things. We'll get him when we can.
I say, that's just a cheap shot.
I know. Total cheap shot. I still don't have a mic yet. I know I sound awful on the podcast, but some would argue I sound awful all the time. So there's that. Let's see. What else was I going to say? After this show tonight, I'm going to be doing a... special edition of Grinder Dance Party, where it's Frank versus Chad. So you will pick a song, and I will pick a counterpart to try to one up you. Which we all know, I like the best music, right, Breakman? I like all the best things.
Sure, yes, whatever. Say so.
Well, come on, man. Like I.
Yeah, I said sure. Yeah.
See, even Breakman agrees. It's Breakman approved.
Sure.
So if you want to join in that, that'll be a ton of fun after the show. I'll go as long as people are interested, which surprisingly sometimes goes quite a long time. Last bit of housekeeping news. Next week will be the final week that I'm really going to pay attention to the Wicked Radio chat. I want to switch everything to Twitch, so... Let me know what you guys think of Twitch next week. I'll still do the normal Wicked Radio chat next week, in addition to the Twitch and YouTube and every other chat in between. But I want to test out Twitch to see how their chat works for you guys. So I know it's pluggable into other chat clients, like Dungeon Buster said. So I think we'll be in good shape. So, all right, Breakman, how are you ready to go, man? I'm excited, man.
I don't know if I should read what was said in chat, but yeah, I guess so.
What was exactly. I'm the stereotype of the show, the lazy Mexican. So yeah, that you got it, Breakman, for sure.
I didn't say that. I had nothing to do with that. I was just pointing out that it was said.
Is that Breakman that's doing that in chat? Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
That's not me.
Eric RPG. You son of a bitch, Eric. See, even when he's not on the show, he antagonizes. Dungeon Buster's in there. What's up, Dungeon Buster?
So he's trolling us in which chat? Twitch chat?
Let me see. Let me go check it out. Yes, he is in there. I don't think it's more active, Eric. I want more. Bridget says, "Hi, sexy." I think I'm assuming she's talking to me. So, you know, what's up?
So, does that mean we're pausing the show for a moment?
No, go
take care of something.
Let's move on. Let's get these news stories done out of the way. The first story comes to us from RPG site.net. I'll get my ugly mug off the screen momentarily, people. It's kind of hard to do.
Well, apparently Bridget likes you. I mean, see that video. I'm just.
Doesn't everybody like me? I mean, like
that's not what I meant.
Oh, okay. What did you mean?
I meant in that way.
You son of a bitch! You son of a bitch! You're trying to sabotage this show, like Eric. I swear. Just for that, you get all the Japanese ones today.
Wait. When does Eric sabotage the show? That was like, Mug that was always trying to sabotage the show. I'm confused.
Eric was saying shit in chat earlier, what you said in the Wicked Radio chat. He was like, Frank is now a lazy Mexican, like the conservatives are always talking about. All right, first story comes to us from RPG Side. Classic Falcom PC action RPG Zwei, heading west as Zwei the Argus Avenger. I think we talked about this before. So it was released originally on PC in Japan in 2001, later ported to the PSP and the PS2 in the region. Long overdue localizations are no stranger to Xseed, who has continually put out classic Falcom titles in English, such as Xanadu Next and Trails in the Sky. Specific release details have not been confirmed, so we don't have a prize. Looks like winter of 2018, but there you go. So if you're interested in Zwei the Argus Adventure, this would be the game for you. Breakman, anything on that?
Mm-mm.
I got the video running in chat. It looks like a really pretty action RPG a la... man, it's just a real pretty, like, Super Nintendo-esque RPG. Looks good. I actually
think it's so perfect.
Yeah, it is pretty. All right.
It's perfect.
Maybe the next story is pretty, Breakman.
Coming to us live from RPG Site. 7, The Days Long Gone, so not a sequel to that movie of Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, is releasing on December 1st. Here's what the combat is like.
Yeah.
That's your opening? That's the title? If you're looking for a new isometric RPG to sink your teeth into, the open-world RPG 7, The Days Long Gone, is coming out tomorrow on Steam. So it is already out, because this was yesterday. So it is out today.
Yeah.
A vibrant game offering stealth mechanics to action-packed gameplay in the prison island of Peh. Peh?
Yeah.
Some Peh.
What is that?
Prison island of Peh. Okay. you will play as the Master Thief Tyrael. And I don't care if I'm pronouncing these right or not, because these are fucking made-up name bullshit, and I can pronounce them any way I fucking want. And explore around Peh as you please. The game encourages you to make choices gameplay and story-wise, and you can freely switch between stealth and action playstyles. And on the other hand, you can choose to help or exploit Peh's inhabitants. Of course... Yeah, just like I want to call it Peh's now.
I know.
It's like those little
Peh's dispensers. You know what? I play
some nasty pieces of candy that are in the Peh's dispensers.
I play a game based on that. I mean, fuck, they made an emoji movie. Why not a Peh's game? You know? Why not?
I hear the emoji movie was bad. Too bad. I was gonna go see it.
Aww.
So anyway, the little Peh's. Is that what the candy's called, or are they called Peh's?
They're called Peh's, I believe. I believe the
Peh's. Okay. So it's just the Peh's dispenser then. Yes. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So this little town's the dispenser, and then Hammond's are the Peh's. Of course, there will be consequences. You'll be meeting a myriad of characters from slaves and prisoners to rich socialites, so there's a lot of variety offered. Everyone has their own agenda, after all, and there's always more than what meets the eye. The fate of the Vetral Empire rests in your hands.
Yeah, it. I don't know. It kind of looks like a boring version of Diablo. Compared with the last trailer I was looking at, this looks less fun, for sure. So, I don't know. Maybe it's got a detailed story that you really want to get into and like. But I think for my money, wouldn't you rather play Diablo 3? I mean,
I would much rather play the Diablo. Yeah. I played a lot of Diablo.
Yeah.
And Diablo 2.
Diablo's fun. It's a fun game. I played it a couple of times, very briefly. Yeah. I'm not a PC guy, but, you know, I know the consoles, the newer consoles have Diablo 3. I'm looking forward to playing Diablo 3. So, looks fun. Looks really fun. All right, next story that should also be fun comes to us from RPG site. Rainbow Skies to be released in 2018, and they have a new trailer, but they don't really give us a date. It promises 100 hours of content, which includes side quests and optional content, and then it has, of course, a collector's box with a bunch of extras like... Oh, you actually get a game manual for this. That's actually. I know. What weird, huh? Joke.
I was taking a drink, man. You're gonna kill me with stuff like that. You gotta warn me first.
Yeah, I gotta warn you, dude. When's the last time you saw a game manual in a game? Like actual game manual. I can't
think of one. Oh God, when was the last time I saw an actual manual?
Yeah, it's a good question, huh? If you can
I don't think remember,
of but it's got the 2-disc original soundtrack, 100-page book of knowledge guidebook, a double-sided map, and numbered certificate. So, for what that's worth, looks all right. Looking at some vid here, it's looks like a strategy, puzzle RPG maybe. Kind of what I'm getting, like a loot grab, but you have to craft and, you know, do all that shit. So, looks all right. I mean, it looks pretty. Not my type of game, though, Breakman. So,
I think I remember, like, the PS2 and the Xbox having manuals, right?
Yes, some
but
of
the,
them.
The 360, I don't remember really any games
was
had
it
manuals.
The 360 that kind of did away with that?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe some games did, but I can't think of any that did.
Yeah, I know PS2 had a bunch. PS3, I can't remember having a manual for games either. So, Wow. This is a rarity, a PS4 game with a game manual. So that's kind of cool. Stealth Man says, I hope Rainbow Sky is better than the first game. Yeah, I guess the first one wasn't great.
And Dungeon Buster in chat says the Xbox 360 had manuals. Okay. I can't remember any games that did off the top of my head though.
Yeah, I can't.
I think it was later. I think you're right. Pretty much every game he has one, but I don't buy a lot of games, but like my, Fallout didn't come with a manual. Halo didn't come with a manual.
Yeah.
South Park didn't come with a manual.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of DS games came with manuals, but I don't remember.
But those are all Xbox One games, right? Yeah. I'm not thinking of 360. Yeah, Dungeon Buster's probably right.
Yeah. Well, Dungeon Buster's like right like 99% of the time. All right, this next game I guarantee is not going to have a manual. Shin Megami Tensei 5 announced for the West comes to us from RPGsite.net October. It was originally announced for the Nintendo Switch back in October. It's coming West. I don't think there's any surprise there. There's no no dates, nothing like that. So, and I'm playing the trailer now. It's pretty for sure. So. I'm excited. The Shin Megami games are pretty damn fucking good. So
that's purdy.
Yeah, it's really purdy. You got a purdy mouth. How about that purdy mouth of yours tells us the next story, partner?
I think I have more purdy eyes than a mouth.
Okay, I'll give you that, man. You got more purdy
eyes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have really nice eyes. Anyway, coming to us live from RPG site. Because we're getting more and more news from them. The longest 5 minutes set to release in February. The longest 5 minutes, huh? Mm. Well, that's. I hope that's not false advertising. This game better not take more than 5 minutes.
Right.
NIS America has announced that the longest 5 minutes will release in North America on February 13th. And February 16th in Europe. The game will release on PlayStation Vita. Holy shit!
I know, a Vita game, man. I mean,
what's going on today? Manuals and Vita releases?
I know, it's like retro Grinders Day or something, man. Weird.
So they're also on the Switch. So this isn't an old article. Ooh, it didn't get mixed in here. And a PC via Steam. The Niche publisher also posted a new trailer showing the sprite style and premise of the game. The longest 5 minutes depicts a hero's encounter with the Overlord when he suddenly loses his memories about his friends and his past. So it's a memento, then? during the battle, he converses with his comrades, and the game will initiate flashbacks to the important parts of his adventure, regaining his memories before it's too late. You can find the original announcement post here.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry, didn't mean to read that last sentence.
My bad. It looks shitty, to be honest. You know, I'm not a big graphics horror guy, even though, you know, I talk a lot of graphics, but it looks like one of those retro games that were made on, like, the very first engine of RPG Maker divided by two or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eric and Dungemuster correcting me in chat. Eric says they did at first, around the time of Shadowlords came out, they dropped the practice. Speaking of manuals again, Dungeon Master says towards the end of the Xbox 360's life, but it wasn't uniform across all games.
Yeah. There were certain ones that had them. We're talking physical. We didn't make that distinction earlier. Dungeon Buster, as always, corrects. So.
I'm talking about the paper ones that I could take and, you know, gave me something to read in the bathroom before we had smartphones.
Yeah, exactly. All right. This next story is kind of a sad little story coming to us from RPG side. Demon's Souls Online services deactivating after February. Wow. Damn. It's been that long, huh, since it's been out. You're not going to be able to play online.
Sad. Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah, I know.
It's just the way it is.
I mean, how does that... It's an interesting paradox for the collector. Because if you collect a game like Demon's Souls, for instance, right? When the servers end, do you never want to go back to that game ever again?
I get the idea that a lot of collectors don't go back to their games. They're collecting them because they, you know, they like having them. Kind of like to show them off, you know, more than anything.
Well, I guess the single campaign is pretty good in Demon's Souls from what I remember. It was obviously really, really super hard, but that was, you know, part of the whole, kind of what started all that whole movement towards, like, metagaming. You know what I mean, Breakman? Like, where the game didn't give you a manual, didn't give a fuck about, you know, what you were doing. It just kind of forced you to get better at the game. It kind of started that whole subgenre of, you know, demons games. So, Offline Souls, it's a new game, Eric RPG says. All right, next story break.
Dungeon Buster in chat says Demon's Souls had a beautiful manual. Fast forward to Dark Souls 3, and I missed that part.
Yeah, Dark Souls 3 was probably the black sheep of that, of the first three. And then, of course, you had the masterpiece that's Bloodborne that I fucking can't wait to play, man. All right, next story.
Dungeon Buster said it was sad when there were only e-manuals. I don't like e-manuals.
I don't either. I get, but, you know, it's with the times, guys. Like, a lot of us are a little older, so we remember.
I know, but
times,
the e-manuals are so, like, bland for the most part.
I know.
Like, remember all the cool stuff they used to do in, like, paper manuals? Like, they made them so you'd want to read them.
Yeah.
For if they're a good manual, there are a lot of shit.
Well, they kind of, like, did something that kind of took away from that when the PS2 started printing manuals in black and white and, you know, it sort of lost, like, some of that charm. Like, you'd get some nice artwork and shit, you know, and you know, black and white.
You'd find out things about the story that just aren't talked about in the game, you know.
Yeah.
Or details about the weapons or characters that aren't really mentioned, you know. Backstory.
Yeah, a little bit of backstory. Yeah, some reading. But you know what? It's 2017, so who reads anymore, right? Right?
And as Dungeon Master says, companies want to cut costs or holes in plastic cases to save. They basically they don't want to spend the money on paper manuals, and I understand that, and it's good for the environment to cut down less trees is good.
I actually think it might cost them more to give you if you figure in man hours and all kinds of other things, it might be a little more expensive to include an e-manual. I don't know. Are they online now, or are they, you know, part of the disc, the manuals, or are they
generally they're part of the disc.
Okay.
Generally, they're with the game. You know?
I'd be interested.
But like when you go and look at the instructions, usually it's just here's the controller.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Yep. Oh yeah. You know, there's nothing I hate worse than opening like a Blu-ray or a DVD or a game, and like you open it and it's just the disc. It seems kind of cheap. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I'm not getting anything special here. I don't know. But all right. Next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Mekai Wars launches spring 2018 in Japan.
Okay, I think that's good enough, unless you want to read the short.
I'll read the story. A determined 13-year-old, a female high school student who overcame the long wait and finally became the protagonist she long planned to become. 13-year-old in high school? I think I was in junior high at 13.
There was a 13-year-old in high school when I went to high school, so it does happen.
Wow, I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, like, she must be smart.
Well,
even though she has become the protagonist, she is still knocked around by those around her.
Yeah.
Dick, she's probably smarter than all of them.
Breakman, you brought up a good point when we talk about these Japanese titled games. This one's going to be kind of hard for me to play because it over-sexualizes 13-year-olds.
Really? I didn't get that from the one picture, but I didn't look at the video.
Yeah, the video reveal, I just played it for chat. It reveals a couple characters that... look a little too suggestive for my
it's definitely makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, a little bit. So yeah, might not be one that I play, but it might be something that one of you all will
and part of the make me uncomfortable is not only the fact that it's happening, but the fact that there are people like thinking that this is good.
Yeah, well,
like this, we should do this, like not just is one person, but like a whole culture, you know?
Yeah, there is something as cultural differences that you know, certain countries have had like a tradition. It doesn't mean the tradition is great, you know? So,
yeah.
Might not be illegal in other countries or whatever, but it's just, let's just move on. How about that?
All right. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Yeah.
I'm
going to go ahead and step in because you read two stories in a row before.
No worries.
Omega Labyrinth Z coming west in spring 2018. And I'm scrolling down, trying not to stare about Omega Labyrinth. Is that Peggy. Labyrinth Z?
Uh-huh.
What the hell was that? An ad pop up? Is the most tantalizing roguelike RPG of 2018. I'm guessing it is. Battle through challenging dungeons that feature ever. Let me start over. I'm distracted here.
I think you're looking at the picture, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about. Omega Labyrinth Z is the most tantalizing roguelike RPG of 2018. Dude. Battle through challenging dungeons that feature ever-changing maps, monsters, and loots. As you pursue your quest for the Holy Grail, a magical object that will let the girl's one true desire come to fruition. Rumors of an item referred to as the Grail of Beauty are whispered through the hallowed halls of the storied educational institute of Imbler Girls Academy.
Dude, I paused it at the end of the little teaser trailer. The trailer itself is glorious. It's basically a bunch of chicks.
I really hope this is a college academy. It has to be.
Okay, you see the picture.
Please be a college.
You see the picture, right, Dungeon? The still picture, the screenshot, if you will. They intersperse that picture, but it's in motion, if you can imagine that, in between, like, edits. So it always goes back to that girl, like, bouncing in between other things. And then, spectacularly, at the end of the video, the W, what looks like to be a W at the beginning, is the outlines of, well, you can imagine what they're the outlines of. So there you go.
So anyway, the Grail can grant any wish, large or small, and as the tale goes, it is hidden in a secret cave that only reveals itself on opening day of the academy each year. Aina Akimaya, a popular young student at the academy, is fed up with feeling self-conscious about her body, and so she sets out on a grand quest to obtain Grail of Beauty.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of bullet points.
Yeah. Wait, is she the one in the picture?
Yeah, I believe so. And she's also the one at the very end. I don't know if you saw the trailer.
But she's the one who's having a problem? What?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
I know. Why would she have a problem with that, honestly? All right. Maybe she have a problem.
I never thought it'd be localized.
The Z is for Z Cup. Jesus. All right, this comes to us from Gamatsu. Fast-paced dungeon crawler Wizard of Legend, coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC early 2018. I'm not going to reread what I just read, but there's an overview. The story is every year in the Kingdom of Lenova. That doesn't sound bland or vanilla at all. The Council of Magic holds the Chaos Trials, a gauntlet of magical challenges put forth by its strongest members. Contestants that successfully complete all of the challenges and demonstrate superior wizardry earn the right to become a Wizard of Legend. So there's a bunch of features. It's fast-paced. There's a trailer. What you think of Wizard of Legend?
So wait, I'm confused. This game takes place in Lenovo?
Yeah, like the computer.
The Lenovo company?
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to find
the manufacturer of laptops?
Yeah, they're trying to find the sacred laptop. I was just about ready to say. I'm looking at the trailer. It looks cool. And they do something on here that I wished a few more games would give you the option. You know, like in the old school action RPGs where you'd see their health at the top of their like how much damage you're doing and stuff. Like,
yes, just, I like that.
I like that. So that's really cool. I wish more games would give you the option to toggle that on and off.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. So, all right. Next story. I'm going to go ahead and do the next one as well, because I want to save the last one for you, Breakman, if you don't mind. Comes to us from Gamatsu. What, do you mind at all? He does. He minds. You son of a bitch. Song of Memories launches for PC on December 20th in Japan for Switch around February of next year, which is, man, that's coming up right around the corner. We're going to have our end of the year special show coming up in a couple weeks. It'd be cool. Back in July, Pure Wish announced plans to release the PS4 version of Song of Memories in North America in the fall with the English and French support. They didn't provide an update in the announcement. It's also worth noting that the Switch version was originally planned for release in 2017, Japan, with English, Japanese, and French support. And the PC version was originally planned for 2018. There you go. December 20th for Steam, April 27th in Japan. So there you go. 4,000 yen. So I'm wondering. Eric RPG says, I wonder if Wizard Legend has exploding food. Last story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Azayaka na Eroduri no Naka de Kimi Rashiku, coming to PS4, PS Vita.
Oh man, this is the perfect story for you, Break.
Intergram is bringing Precano developed visual novel Asyaka no Eroduri no Naka de Kimi Rashiku, which launched for the PC on November 24th, and it'll be on the PlayStation 4 and the PS Vita in Japan on February 22nd. PlayStation 4 version will be released physically at 2,480 yen, standard edition, and 6,480 yen for the premium edition, which includes a Kumi Hori illustrated tapestry and Keiichi Kanua. I pronounced that one right.
I think you got the first part right. The second part, I believe, is Kano,
okay. Yeah. Written short story. The original soundtrack is also included with both editions as a purchase bonus. The PS Vita version will only be released digitally. Both the PlayStation 4 and PS Vita versions will cost 1,980.
Eric said he picked this story on purpose.
Yeah, I think he did. I'm giving you the synopsis. The protagonist transferred into a boarding school, sharing a room with a boy who was in his grade. His roommate was the son of a famous kabuki actor, and also performs as the promising Onagata?
Yeah, you got it.
Which means female role actor. However, he found out his secret by accident. He was actually a girl. Whoops. From the moment... Well, that's not really acting if you're playing a girl and you are a girl. From that moment on, the relationship changed completely. Oh, gee, I wonder why. However, he was not the type to take advantage of such a situation, but instead he wanted to help protect her secret.
Does that remind you of that one movie? What the hell was the name of it? It's like Just One of the Guys or something, where it was this chick and she was pretending to be this guy and she really liked this guy. And
I've seen a few movies like that.
He ended up catching her trying to put her top on, and then, you know, he saw the goods. And
that's been done a lot, like in both situations, like women pretend to be men and men pretend to be women.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that is the news, peeps. We got through the news fairly quickly today. There are some homing discounts with the PlayStation Plus. Darksiders 2 is on sale. Let's see what else. Oh, these are the Plus games, actually. So you get Darksiders 2, the Definitive Edition for the PS4, Forma 8, Kung Fu Panda, Siberia Collection. That's a good get. Until Dawn, Rush of Blood for the PlayStation VR. Wanted Core for the PlayStation Vita, and X-Blaze Lost Memories for the PS3. In addition, PlayStation Plus members will have access to the Monster Hunter World Beta, which we discussed last week, from December 9th to the 12th. Contains two ecosystems, Ancient Forest and Wildspire Waste, and three hunts, Anjanath, Baroth, and Great Jagras. So that sounds interesting. Gets you a chance to get a taste of the game. So pretty cool. So any other deals that you know of, Mr. Brake?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Any Twitter questions?
I didn't actually see any, but let me double check.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm going to scroll through a little bit, and no, nothing.
Nothing.
Still nothing.
Still nothing. So if you want to send us something, send all your comments, questions, ideas to @RPGrinders, and we will read them on the air. What have you been playing, Brake?
You know, the same old, South Park.
Change it to South Park this week.
It'll probably be South Park for a while. It's going to be South Park on the phone and South Park the game. And I'm freaking loving the game.
Yeah.
I know Moria was thinking, you know, more of the same, which I kind of get because it's the same city, you know?
Yeah, but...
They couldn't really change the layout of the city. Yeah. You're still going to the same places, still getting seeing the same people and such, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we kind of touched on it last week, Brake. I used to hate, like... I was a big, like, traditional turn-based, and I still am a big traditional turn-based guy, right? Mm-hmm. And when the Digital Devil Saga first game came out, it was awesome. And it was, you know, it got critical acclaim. I think it was in the nines from what I remember, you know, if we're doing scale out of 10, which means it's a very exceptionally great game. And when the second one came out, it like dropped to like 6.5. And I'm like, why? This is just as good as the other one. Why is it getting less? I mean, I never understood that. Like if you're getting, if it takes the same exact formula and doesn't improve anything, then you have a problem. Other than that, I don't see the problem if you take the core of what was good and just add to it. So. It always boggles my mind that people...
You don't even have to really improve the game, per se. If you have a fun game play style and you want to continue that with a new experience, why not?
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, pretty much every numbered Yakuza game takes place in the same slice of city, but they keep adding new things to do and change a few things around. I think that's okay. Like... If you don't have a major engine to go to in a game, I think it's perfectly okay to, sell yourself a little short. Like, you know, save your eggs for a bigger basket on a bigger day. I don't care when something plays. It's like the Uncharted games. Those are pretty much, if you look at them 1 through 4, they're pretty much the same game, right? Like, I mean, sure, they take place in different parts of the world and stuff, but the core of the game is the cinematics and the graphics, and, you know, it keeps that same feel and controls for the most part throughout the series, and it just does minor tweaks, and I think those are great games, so I don't know. Dungeon Buster says, Yakuza 5 kept the same city, but then added other cities to mess around in. I have never, and I know this is kind of weird, I've never played a Yakuza game, but I've heard nothing but good things about those games. He said you could also punch bears, so that was a nice change. Yeah, that's cool. I think bears, to me, are one of the scariest animals on the planet. And I'll,
yeah, no shit. I definitely can't argue with that.
Oh, man. They are, to me, they're like one notch below sharks and crocodiles. Sharks and crocodiles are at the top.
See, the thing with sharks is you have to be, like, in the right place. And it's such a rare thing. Like, I think the whole shark thing is way overrated. But you're right about crocodiles.
The same thing with bears. I would venture to say that they're very comparable in attacks, wouldn't you? Bears to sharks?
I wonder who would win in a fight, like a bear or a crocodile?
Ooh. Crocodile probably, no, but
it's got this massive jaws, but the massive body weight of the bear.
I'll probably take the bear, and I'll give you two reasons why. Condemned 2 and The Revenant. Have you ever seen The Revenant? Holy hell.
No, I haven't, but I get the reference.
Oh, dude, that you got to see that scene, dude. I think it's up on YouTube, but it's scary, man. Like, being mauled by a bear is, whew. I had a bear, one time I was camping, and there was a bear that went through the campsite, and that was pretty harrowing, man.
I would have left. I would have left. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
I mean, it didn't do anything.
Of course, I wouldn't have been there in the first place, because I don't go to places that don't have running water.
Well, the place I go has electricity and water, so that's a plus.
Okay, I would do that. Yeah. That'd be fun. That's not really camping.
Yeah, you could take a trip to Yellowstone, and they even got, like, shower stations where you can stop in, pay a small fee, and get showered up and stuff, so you don't have to totally rough it. So, yeah, there's some cool places. All right, yeah, so that's a cool little thing. Bears versus sharks. Even better. Zombie shark versus zombie bear. How about that? Who wins that battle?
Okay, I guess. I don't really care at that point. I was more interested in a real fight, you know, a real bear and a real crocodile. They start coming back to life. I'm out.
You're out. That's ridiculous.
No,
I
don't
know if you care. I would take the bear, I think. Final judgment, bear? We'd both take the bear?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
I've been playing South Park. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I have been pulling my hair out with Marvel Puzzle Quest. Mm. They upped the ante. It is much harder to win as you... Like, the difficulty curve, once you get up to level 65, which is, you know, not the highest level you can get. That's like the lowest level high tier that you can get. But trying to battle enemies at that level is really difficult. And I know it's a cash grab, but man, is it hard. But I'm doing all right. I've gotten extra characters and stuff like that. So... still keeping me interested, even after all these years. So, good on you, MPQ. All right. Do you have any reviews this week, Break?
Not really.
I got a real quick one. You ready for it?
Sure.
Happy Death Day. I just saw that today. I know...
Okay, I before you say it, I really like the premise of this movie. I want to see it.
Yes, it's surprising.
But it's got the worst title ever.
It does. Happy Death Day is not a great title, but it's a pretty good movie. It's sort of like a horror version of Groundhog's Day with some humor, not a lot of blood, so you don't see a lot of blood, but it's got its jump scares, and its premise was pretty fucking good, and it actually had some decent backstory to characters. They could have delved a little further into that, but I just hated the lead chick in it, and even after, like, at the end, I still felt like I didn't like her. Like, I don't know, it was just one of those type of movies, but it's a good movie. I give it a 7.5. You guys should definitely check it out. I don't know if it's a theater-going experience. It's more like you have a bunch of friends over, or you watch it with your girlfriend, wife, whatever, and, you know, get scared, jump scared.
You saw the movies?
I did. At the cheap movies, the cheaper, you know. You know how they have bargain movies?
Yeah. That's how I used to go to the movies.
Yeah.
No, I barely ever go, and it's only for, like, the big premieres.
Yeah. I you know what movie, and we're definitely going to be talking about it today, that I'm going to be first in line to see at the theater?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to talk about My Sweeto?
That depends if your Sweeto is the Infinity War trailer.
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Why don't we do our Sweetos first then, Breakman? Let's get into it. Go for it.
Oh, that trailer looked so freaking amazing.
Wasn't it good?
And at the end, the surprise, because they've said for a while now that they weren't going to include the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Bullshit.
Well, they're in there.
They're in there. They had to include the Guardians of the Galaxy, dude. I mean, it was... My only thing is, like, I kind of wish the Fantastic Four was there. I know it's a small...
I know. It feels weird without the X-Men to me. Always has. But it's the way it is.
But
I'm hoping one day, maybe, like, 20, 30 years from now, we'll get, like, when they redo all of this, it'll be a complete universe.
Yeah. You know what? I actually think it might happen this coming year, dude. I don't think there's going to be enough time to... If this Fox deal goes through, which it's very, very close to going through with Marvel and Disney, I think by the end of not next year, but the year after, we'll see all these characters rebooted into the MCU, which would be... Can you imagine a whole new cast of X-Men in the MCU, Breakman? Wouldn't that be cool? Or Fantastic Four?
So, coming in... basically coming into the already existing universe.
Yes, existing universe.
Because they have been making, like, vague hints about, like, what's to come, like, after the...
Yeah.
Not after the Infinity War, but after the following
Avengers
movie.
The Avengers. Whatever,
they haven't titled it yet, have they, actually?
It's Avengers 4. They haven't given it, like, a subtitle, but it's the fourth Avenger film, or third, or whatever.
Fifth, wouldn't it? Is it
fifth, whatever. Whatever.
How many have we had? We've had... Third. This is the third, so that would be the fourth.
Fourth, yeah, be the fourth one. See, Eric is done with trailers. I
get confused because Civil War was almost Avengers 3, you know.
Eric says, but what's going on with Thanos' get up and skin color? This is the one nitpicky thing that I had about that trailer, Breakman. The trailer's fantastic, Eric. It doesn't give much away. I mean, we already know that there's going to be a big battle with Thanos. But... It was a breathtaking trailer. Like, when I saw that trailer, I got super excited. Like, this is going to be one hell of a fucking couple of movies we're in for. The skin color, I did have a problem. I also had a problem with them not including his... he has, like, kind of like a, lack of a better word, a tiara that looks like... I don't know. Like,
you could have said
horns.
Crown.
A crown.
I'm going to make sure when he comes to invade the planet, I point that out to him.
Yeah.
Give him his better graces.
Exactly.
He called it a tiara, sir.
Yeah, then you'll
kill
be
him.
One, you'll be like his henchman that he just crushes and destroys, like right away. But yeah, I like the way his face looked, but I wish he was a little more purple. He looked a little too pinkish to me, I guess. And maybe that's because...
I'm wondering if that was maybe a flashback or something, because he looked
could
a little
be.
Young in that picture. Because didn't he look young in that image to me?
Do you remember the first appearance of Thanos, Breakman?
Like, yeah, the end of the first Avengers.
Yeah. Didn't he look more purple in that one? Like that's the way he really should have looked like?
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering if that, where we see him, like, just see his face, like, that's just a flashback.
Did he have
But we see him, like, putting, we see him with the gauntlet, too, so maybe not. I'm not sure.
Also, we saw two gems, the one that, yes. On that gauntlet. So they're going to do Thanos' quest in this thing, basically.
Yeah, it, and it's kind of implied by the trailer that one of those would be Vision's stone.
Yep, Vision. Doctor Strange has one. The rumored one in Wakanda. I think that's the spirit one, the yellow one. And the red one in Thor, the Dark World. I don't know if you remember the red kind of goopy CG thing that was going on there. Yeah. And then the collector had, of course, the one... Oh, the Nova Corps has that, right? On Xandar. So...
I haven't seen the last four.
The what?
I haven't seen Thor, the third four.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the... what you call it? The one in Guardians of Galaxy 2, I believe.
Okay, I haven't seen that either.
Or Guardians 1, where they go to the Collector and he has
I know that, like, the Collector had it, but I didn't know, like, the Nova Corps had it now.
Yeah, remember at the very end of the first one?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you gotta watch it again, dude. But yeah, they basically give it to the Nova Corps, man. I think it's gonna take place on Xandar. I don't know. That's just speculation, but it's a really exciting, good, very well-made trailer for a blockbuster, I think. Eric brought up something, too. I think the CG lighting might have something to do. Maybe the planet that they're on, because it kind of looked like an orange planet in that trailer. Maybe that had something to do with the way his skin looked. But the internet's kind of going crazy with Photoshop of Thanos. I saw the... the Peanut Man on that, what's his name? Mr. Peanut on the, those Planner's Peanuts.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Peanut. I wasn't arguing. Go ahead.
They made Thanos look out to him. There was a Mario one that I saw with the crazy mustache. There was, what else did I see? It was pretty fun. So people are having a lot of fun. It broke the record. I think it had like 245 million views within 24 hours, which is completely insane. So, all right. So let me move on to my sweeto. I have a couple. Oh, no, I have one. Right before I got... on the air today, I was sitting down in the computer room and my mom was playing Farmville. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, old people always say, like really old people, I could just hear the jokes now with you guys. With really old people, it's hard to sell any of them onto games. You know what I mean? Like, Brake, are you back yet?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like way older people, even older than myself, which is old as dirt, try to play video games?
And I kind of disagree with you because remember the popularity of the Wii?
The Wii aside, I'm not including the Wii.
Okay. Well, without the Wii, then yes,
argument's fine. Exactly. There were a lot of games on the Wii that older people did like bowling, and you know, I'm not talking about those half measured games. I'm talking about like true gaming. Like, can you imagine like a senior citizen playing a real time strategy game like Warcraft or Starcraft?
Well, I'm gonna be a senior citizen doing that someday.
Yeah. Well. I know you are.
I can't play these damn real-time strategy games anymore.
Get off my lawn, you son of a bitch online.
I'm trying to build a factory, you little asshole.
Let me
build my damn factory before you invade.
I think people as old as...
Oh, Zarkrush, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
Are you going to hit me with your cane, Breakman?
Sorry.
Son of a bitch. I think older people are full of shit when they say they can't play games. I just don't understand it. Blah, 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 right? I think it's a lack of interest. I don't think it's the ability. Because I was watching my mom play Farmville 2, the, you know, that garden sim game. If you can play a sim, I think you can pretty much play just about any game. So, you know, I don't know. I was watching her and I was like really surprised. She was like, you know, going around her fields and planting and watering, and she's got to get this and, you know, I get water, pump water from the well and whatever the fuck you do in Farmville 2, she was flying around the screen doing it. And I was looking at her like, holy fuck, she has faster reflexes than even I do on the computer. So that was my sweeto of the week, man. Just watching my mom play games and not even realize that she was really playing a detailed, you know, game. So big ups to moms for that. Your stinko, Breakman.
My mom has always played games. Like, she used to play NES with us.
Yeah, Super Nintendo. I mean, yeah, the Nintendo games for sure. Like, I can actually remember, you know, my mom playing that horrible Pac-Man on the Atari 2600.
Yeah. My mom would play, she was really good at, like, Dig Dug and River Raid.
You know what my dad was really good at? Was Duck Hunt. My dad could
this
play.
This is weird. My dad never played games. He didn't like them. He was never into it.
Yeah,
my dad. My mom would always play with us. He's just never into it.
Yeah, my mom for the most part too. But if I put on Duck Hunt, I couldn't get on the game. My dad would take over the Nintendo with Duck Hunt. Yeah. Your stinko, Breakman.
Oh, my stinko is probably the same as yours. In our Mr. President and deciding that. You know, while he's commensurating the Navajo, was it called Wind Talkers? What were they called?
Code
Talkers. That's it. Yes. Yeah. He decides to take a crack at one of his enemies as usual, but he decides like to go with the calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, which is. Not the normal insult. It's Pocahontas because of the going with her traits and heritage. But going with – no, he goes with, Pocahontas. Not the place to do it, A.
Right.
B, a good way to alienate,
Native Americans.
An entire culture.
Well, we've already done that with Native Americans by – like basically almost a genocide break, man.
I know. It's just our president going in a speech deciding, right. I'm going to make a joke of my enemies by comparing her to a historical figure.
Here's how I view all this. I'm the only minority on the show, so I have a little different take. That's not true.
Mugs, I'm technically a minority too.
No, not like me. check this out.
Not like you, no, but no. As far as we know.
I have a little different take, Breakman. Donald Trump is your older, like your either your great-grandfather or your grandfather that was raised to hate black people and does not know that he or she is in the year 2017. You know what I mean, Breakman? Like if you were to take Donald Trump and put him back into 1950 or 1940, 30, 20, he would fit right in the South. You know what I mean? Like not in terms of being Southern, but his views on other races like black people, Hispanic people, and now Native Americans, this comes to his mouth like it's second nature. You know what I mean? Like it just rolls off of his tongue because he's ignorant. He's not only stupid but he's willfully ignorant of things. You know what I mean? Just to promote himself. And that was a perfect opportunity for him to get people like us talking and saying, you know, he's a racist. I mean, I don't know how else we can spell it out other than to say that this guy is indeed a racist, and it goes way back. This is nothing new. I knew. I don't know if you followed the news, Breakman, but back in the day when the Central Park Five got implicated in raping that young white woman, like the first person to get a full page ad in the Times and call for their heads, pretty much, you know, call for them to be executed, was Donald Trump. He was a leading voice in that movement, you know, and there was at the time a sentiment of people thinking that they should just forego a trial and just put, you know, because it was a slam dunk. Well, with the advent of DNA and, you know, all those forensic DNA techniques that we've developed, they were proven innocent. So this is a very, very good reason to discard the death penalty. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it even has a place in society. It doesn't make us any better if we kill the person that killed. And I know there's some horrific acts that go on, but if you look at what people do overseas, I know I always point to, you know, things always be better in other countries. There's a lot of good things here too. I'm not, you know, knocking a lot of the good things in this country. But there's a lot of stuff we can improve on, and that's a good area, you know, is race relations and having discussions, including if they're a little uncomfortable. Like, for me, it's kind of uncomfortable to talk about Donald, our president, calling a, you know, colleague. I mean, I guess you could call Elizabeth Warren a colleague, right, Breakman? I'm not out of the
bag. I think she'd be more of a... I don't know if you can call him a colleague. You can't call her an employee, like...
But she's...
Because they're kind of, like, you know, the checks and balances. So yeah, I don't know what you call her.
But they're all part of the same team, right? They're all part of the United States government. Senators, presidents, vice presidents, the cabinet, all these different agencies, the FBI, CIA, they're all part of the federal government. So they're on the same team.
They're all part of the problem. Got it.
And they are part of the problem. There's no question about it. You're right, Breakman. But I think it's in bad taste to call someone that you may need to count on for a vote later on. I know they never agree on anything, Republicans and Democrats. But, I mean, don't you hold your tongue in that instance? And especially when you have – it's like if he had a bunch of Hispanic, like, leaders in his office and he started talking about how – the United States stole Texas and California and Colorado and Arizona, you know, it would be out of place. Like it wouldn't.
I complained when our last President Obama would say, when he'd go into his speeches, instead of trying to work with Republicans, it was always like, blame the Republicans for everything. Well, they're not going to work with you if you do that.
Right.
Then
right.
We got this jackass who comes in and turns it up to fucking 11.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't.
He takes personal shots at people, whereas, you know, and when I was complaining about Obama, like, vaguely naming a party, you know, we got this jackass who takes personal and just completely offensive shots at anybody he feels like.
Do you think he knows what he's doing, Breakman, or do you think it's more of what I was saying? Like, he has that. Old school mentality that's just like, oh, it's just part of life, right? Like,
I think he knows who his base is and he's just decided to appeal to them.
And that's it. Well,
yeah. And I don't think he's too, and I don't think he's smart enough to think past that.
Yeah. I agree with you, actually. But I also think he's stupid enough to stumble his way into more of an authoritarian voice in the government. He's already done that. If you look at what happened with the Consumer Protection Finance Office, they had a clear, established process in place for when the head of that department would leave. But yet, he installs his own guy, Mick Mulvaney, as the head of that organization, which he hates. Mick Mulvaney is an ardent opponent of the very financial institution that protects regular Americans, with you know, like making sure banks don't do shady shit. So I think he's becoming more and more authoritarian as we speak. It's almost like it's a silent thing that's going on. Like it's a creeping death, if you will. You know what I mean? Like it just seems like that to me. Which brings me to the next point. And now we've had like our arguments over this Brakeman, but the new tax bill is awful. It is. I looked at it and I read it, and you know, some of it I don't understand because I'm not an economist. But the one thing I do understand is plain numbers, and the numbers bear out that this is not only going to add over $1 trillion to the deficit, but it's also going to take people off of health care. So there will be 11 to 13 million people with less health care than there is right at this moment. So I vehemently oppose this tax bill. It is, remember I told you guys, Brakeman, if there was one thing that's going to get passed, it's going to be this tax bill. It's because the rich are going to get their money, and the middle class and the low income class are going to bear the brunt of that tax bill. And yes, the effective tax rate of corporations is going from 35% to 20%. But they didn't take any of the loopholes away. So now companies, instead of paying the around 12 to 17% that they were paying, they're going to be paying more like 6-7%. And some companies might even get a refund back, which is disgusting. So, you know, rich get richer.
See, poor get poorer. They never take care of loopholes. It's the big problem.
That's the problem. You know, that's a huge issue. And even if they did, I don't think for our country, as rich as it is, 35% is not a bad tax rate for companies.
It's too high. When our competitors are offering much lower rates, you have to go with the competition.
It is not, Brakeman. Like I said, they pay not the 30% that they say. They pay about 12%. When you take out all the loopholes,
it depends on the company.
But most
you can't lump them all together.
Most companies, and especially the big corporations, are getting an effective tax rate of about 12% or less. Seven to twelve. Now it'll be clear across the board about 7%.
So let me ask you, why don't you want? What is wrong with them getting not paying taxes?
This is the reason, Brakeman. Number one, we are by far the richest company in the world, right? If you wanted to lower the tax rate, that's fine. But where are you going to get that windfall of money without affecting the citizens of the United States? The only way to do that is to institute broadening of loophole closings, right? So that way, you know, instead of paying, they would never go for it, for one. The Koch brothers and the Soroses and all these billionaires would never go for, matter of fact, right now they're discussing raising that from 20 to 22% and, you know, to make up some of that money, and they won't give on it. The Koch brothers have already said that would not be acceptable. And these are the people that are paying these politicians off in legalized bribes, right? I always talk about getting money out of politics. This is where it comes into play. If you have, let's say, a tax bill where your donors, like the Koch brothers, are the major influence, and the Soroses and, you know, all these rich millionaire and billionaires calling the shots, you're never going to get a corporation to pay their fair share. Their fair share, in my estimation, is about 20%. No loopholes. that's a fair share. You realize...
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, but check this out, Breakman. We used to have, before the economy crashed, and before that they revised Dodd-Frank and all that type of stuff, these major corporations were paying, on paper, the effective corporate rate was 40%. In reality, it was 20%. And it was much more balanced. The middle class and the poor people had a decent ratio of the money. If you look at that ratio now, and it's only going to get worse with this tax bill to the point where the poorest of the poor are going to die off because they're not going to have health care and, you know, everyday things to help them live. What about somebody with diabetes, for instance? You know what I'm saying? So the lion's share of the money is going back up, and these big corporations will tell you, well, we're creating more jobs, but it's just patently untrue. It's been proven over and over, multiple studies, multiple people in the know in
see,
the
but
economy.
That's not you can't back that up because that tax the tax rate has been the same since the 60s, so no studies would really affect that.
Well,
no studies really. I mean, it's a tax rate based from the 60s.
Well, okay, the tax rate has changed a little bit over the years, Breakman, in favor of the corporations. And every time
you're talking about like tax breaks and stuff like that, but I'm talking about the rate itself has not changed.
What I'm saying is this. It has. It was about 40%. It's went down to 35%. And in that time...
It is not 35%.
It is 35%. The effective tax rate of major corporations is 35%. But if you take into account all the loopholes and all that type of stuff, it's about 12 to 20% if you have shitty lawyers. So in that span, you said it right, in the 60s, from the 60s to now... as they've shrank the effective tax rate, the majority of the money has been going to the upper 1% or thereabouts, 1% to 5%, depending on which study you look at. And that does not create new jobs. It doesn't stimulate the economy. What do you do when you give a rich person more money, Breakman? What do they do with it? Do they spend it? No. They gain wealth. That's all they do. The need for more wealth is what drives them. There's a reason.
I know, which is one of the reasons they take all the companies offshore because it's more profit.
Exactly right. There's no question about it.
Okay, the tax rate is 39.1%.
About 35%, dude.
No, I'm looking at Wikipedia. It's 39.1%. You're talking federal rate is 35%, but there's federal. Also state rates.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this because every state is different. I'm talking about the federal effective tax rate. And that's down. That's down about 5%. And that's before all the deductions and all the bullshittery that goes on with that. And the loopholes, et cetera, et cetera. So if you look at that time, as we've given corporations more money, they haven't created more jobs. You said it yourself. They're the more money they make, the more they're taking shit off out of the country. Carrier is a good example. You know, Donald Trump said he saved so many jobs in Carrier. Well, they're about ready to do another layoff and send more jobs overseas and to Mexico and wherever else. So it's all a big scam. It's all, let's see how much money I can get in this plan for our donors. That's what it boils down to. So if you have legislators that are bound by their corporate donations, right? Of course they're going to, whether they're Democrat or Republican, there's a reason this bill is going to pass, and it's because the Democrats and Republicans are both corrupt. You know what I mean? Like, they're both taking that donor money. The new guy that they've been touting as maybe a Democratic contender this coming cycle, 2020, is Cory Booker. Cory Booker takes more money from Big Pharma than any other senator. So tell me he's going to vote opposite their best interest. Is Cory Booker going to ever vote for single payer? No fucking way he will do that. You see what I'm saying? Things that help people usually affect businesses, their bottom line, and they can't have that. So if we were to somehow come up with a new amendment to limit or just get rid of money in politics, like big corporate donations, and go down to like grassroots donations, we wouldn't have this problem because people would actually be concerned with the people, not big corporations. And I refuse to look at corporations as people. They are mindless machines that all they want is more and more money. Is that your cat? That is the cutest thing. Was that your cat, Brake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet. We had kitty action on here, man. But yeah, the tax bill is going to go through. They delayed the vote because they're trying to work on that individual mandate with Obamacare. I think Susan Collins is the...
What's
man,
up,
we're back.
Are we on the air? Or?
Yeah, we're on the air. No, I don't know what
good.
The
that
hell...
gave me time to go preheat the oven because I got a Costco pot pie waiting for me.
Oh, shit. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Have you ever had a Costco pot pie?
I have not, but it sounds good, man.
Oh, my God. They are fucking amazing.
It just seems weird to me to eat at these places, but I know it's cheap and good probably, but... let me just finish up, the tax.
Well, Costco, like it's basically quantity type thing, you know,
yeah,
it's,
you get more.
They sell everything wholesale.
Yeah.
So you get like bulk of most everything, but when you buy things like the pot pie, for instance,
yeah,
the thing is fucking huge.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You get a lot. The same thing at Sam's Club.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. You get a huge ass hot dog for like $1.50 or something.
Yeah.
And
it's good quality stuff, and their Popeyes are.
I don't know where I left off when the stream stopped, so I apologize for the quick edit there, everybody that's listening.
I don't know. My cat started purring, and then the stream went down.
Oh, yeah. See, it's your cat. I blame your cat, man. Just to finalize, I mean, the bottom line, the rich are going to get richer with this, and the poor are going to get poorer.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And
that's,
I don't, like...
Like I said, that's what was going to happen to begin with.
Yeah. The thought of it, the thought is not correct either because it goes along the lines of trickle-down economics, which has been proven time and time again. It doesn't work. The more money you give rich people, the more money they save. And it's the opposite when you talk about the middle class and lower income people. If you give them more money, the economy flourishes and we sometimes get into surplus situations and we spend money. Like, I mean, I don't have a savings. Do you, Brake? Maybe a 401k, something along those natures. Mm-hmm. But nothing major. We're not major investors or anything. So
I do not play in the stock market. Yeah. I know that's the real way to make money, but that's also the real way to lose money.
Yeah, and it's also a very shady kind of field. It's basically legalized gambling. Really boil it down.
I know. I hear all the time, like, you need to invest, like, and such like that. But you can lose your ass through investments, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it seems like one of the only ways to build towards the future.
Yeah, but it's not a fun way to do things. You can lose a lot of money. I remember, like,
Definitely no guarantees with the stock market, but the people who tell you and encourage you to invest – don't mention that part.
Well, and also those same people, like the major hedge fund people, they know insider information before anybody else, and that's how they make money. They buy and sell according to their information, which why would you blame them? I mean, that's, you know, a way to make more fucking money. But absolute power corrupts absolutely, and once you get into the millionaire and billionaire status, I think you're pretty, you know, you start along that route, unless you just kind of stay low key and just do your thing, you know, and
or like that. You maybe win the lottery and you blow your fortune within a year.
I don't understand how anybody can do that, break man. If you,
I know, but there are people who do.
I know,
it and
I've seen it. There was a person I think that won like $100 million in Powerball and pissed it all away within 5 years, and I'm like,
yeah. My sister works with somebody who won the lottery.
Yeah,
and every once in a while she takes the cheap shots. Because she's my sister, of course she would take the cheap shots.
Of course. So that's my thought on that. I also had a kind of a sad stinko. Jim Nabors died today. I don't know if anybody knows who Jim Nabors.
Yes, I saw that too. I was thinking about making that, but I thought that it was more important that we really discuss that, the Navajo thing.
Yeah,
yes, that's stinko too.
Yeah, he played Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show, and to be honest, I didn't even know Jim Nabors was still alive. But apparently,
he made a cameo in one of my absolute favorite movies too.
Which one?
Cannonball Run 2.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah,
I like the first one, but I love the second one.
Yeah, those are fun movies to watch. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We did our Sweetos and Stinkos and all kinds of stuff. We went into tax reform, which is another word for give millionaires and billionaires way more money.
The rich get richer and the rest of us get nothing.
Yep, exactly. Actually, you might see a tax increase, Breakman, depending on your tax.
Ooh, oh, sweet.
Yep. So they were – I looked at the CBO report, 13 million people off of health insurance, 1.5 trillion more on top of the deficit that we already have, and we're only going to be able to recover about 500 million or billion of that, not nowhere near what the Republicans say you will. They always go with that trickle-down economic shit that never, ever, ever works.
So far, they've had trouble passing anything whatsoever.
They got the votes, Breakman, so they'll vote on it.
I know they're saying they have the votes, but if they did, I think it would have happened today.
The only reason why is because Susan Collins is the holdout. And she's worried about the individual mandate and something else, but they're going to work it out. Trust me, money talks, Breakman. And I did tell you guys this.
Work it out in a good way, that'd be nice. But we know it'll be in a greedy way.
Yeah, it's not going to be worked out in a good way. They're going to get.
It'll be worked out in a greedy way.
Yeah, for sure.
It's called the greedy way.
Exactly, the greedy way. That's the Washington way, man.
it is.
But other than holdout. It's gonna be...
I don't know what Dungeon Buster's talking about in chat, but he says chunky download is chunky.
Something about
Rex. I just wanted to say that. I don't know why.
You don't know why, yeah? yeah, so that's pretty much what's been going on, man. Trump's being a doofus as always. Oh, one more thing that kind of went under the radar, which I was surprised, was North Korea launched another ballistic missile test. And they pretty much proved they can hit anywhere in the continental United States, so no one is safe. And it sucks that
we are because we have the missile defense systems to protect us. It's not us that we need to worry about. It's Japan and South Korea.
Those are the two ones that do need to worry about it. But I'd be worried if I was the United States too, because they did some preemptive. Defense system things, and they failed. So
look, one of the things we talk about, like our military and stuff, our military is far more advanced than North
Korea.
There's
no question about that, but the sheer number of people that North Korea has makes me kind of nervous, dude. And
Dungeon Buster in chat says we have Star Wars, and I think he's referring to the Ronald Reagan Star Wars program.
Yeah, missile defense system is what he said, Dungeon, not Star Wars.
Yes, he was. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. So it's scary times that we live in. Although I did see this stuff about, what do you make of all this General Flynn shit, Breakman? Because I don't see it going anywhere. Do you see it implicating Donald Trump in any shape, form, or fashion? Like, I just don't see it.
He pleaded guilty to a minor charge.
Yeah, it was super minor. And he doesn't have a...
I know the headlines keep saying, he pleaded guilty, but then you read the story and you find out he didn't plead guilty to anything, like, big.
And there was no plea bargain agreement, either.
Like, it's not something that's going to implicate Trump, unfortunately, but it does get closer to it, you know?
Well, I was reading something about how Jared Kushner was one of the people that told General Flynn about... So... Maybe that, but I don't even see Donald Trump going down if Kushner goes down, because it's Donald Trump. Like, he gets away with every fucking thing. Like, the guy literally said he grabs women by the pussy and they let him do it, and he's still the president of the United States. It boggles my mind that we live in the year 2017 and we have a racist, misogynist asshole as president. It's just weird. I don't know what to say about it, Brakeman. I don't know what that says about us, the United States. I think it says a lot of shitty things about us. Like, I mean, the Pocahontas stuff was pretty atrocious, and he doesn't see anything wrong with that, and it doesn't seem like any of his staff sees any problems.
See, the thing is, like, apparently they asked the code talkers afterwards, and none of them were really offended by it. So all of his supporters are going like, yes, yes, that's true. Like, look, it's not racist because they said it was okay. But then they actually pulled, like, Native Americans afterwards. And
very unpopular.
The vast majority were not happy about that statement.
Did you see there was a distant relative of Pocahontas that actually spoke out?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Check that out after the show break, man. Hmm. It's pretty interesting. She's... got some interesting thoughts on it. I think it's pretty...
And not only that, he did this entire conference with a picture of Andrew Jackson right behind him.
Oh, don't get me started on that. He's the one that brought that portrait back.
One of the most notoriously racist presidents that's ever, you know, in the existence of ever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, some may argue Hitler, you know,
Hitler was never a president.
Well, sort of. But yeah, I agree.
I was talking about our U.S. presidents. Yeah, like he hated Native Americans. He never hid behind that.
Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson, I know he hated black people.
Yes.
But he was only in office for like a month before he got sick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think it was only about a month. So he doesn't really count as much as anything because his wife was basically the president for most of the term.
But
Andrew Jackson, you know, he was fine, and you know, he caused the Trail of Tears among other atrocities. Tears.
Yep. I would say Richard Nixon's up there too because of the drug war that he started. That would be a pretty good example. Who was I think it wasn't Clinton. Was it the first Bush that started the private prison system? Maybe it was Nixon.
I don't know because I didn't know about the private prison system until recently. I had no idea.
I made a statement on the show a few weeks back that I took a lot of time
for. I'm still kind of – that's one of the things I learned in 2017, and I'm still really shocked by it.
Yeah. I made a statement on Grindr's before that people were really up in arms about. I'm not talking just you guys. I'm talking like off, you know, in other worlds where I said that slavery still exists in this country. And I didn't mean exist as in, you know, we're hanging and lynching people and stuff like that. But we're still, I mean, there's still such a thing as slave labor going on in this country in the private prison system. And it's the vast majority is minorities, whether it's black or, you know, Hispanic or other minorities. And then I made the comparison in the NFL, which in a roundabout way is proving my theory right, because I liken the NFL players to indigenous kind of indentured slaves where they're paid for their service, you know. And I know they get paid millions and millions of dollars and all that, but if you look at there's not even one. I think there's one minority owner out of all of them, and he's a big Trump supporter. And I think his name is Saeed Khan in Jacksonville. But if you look at the makeup of the entire NFL owner network, it's the good old boy network. You have people like Jerry Jones, the Mara brothers in New York. You have the only one that I give any sort of real kind of credence and credit is the guy in Pittsburgh, because you know, he hired Tomlin, Mike Tomlin, as a coach, and you know, gave him a good chance to do a good thing. The other one is Irsay, although Irsay, I believe, is kind of races as well. But it's been long documented that this, anytime that there's contract negotiations with the NFL players, it almost overwhelmingly always goes into the favor of the owners. And, you know, we wonder why these guys, you know, appeal decision after decision after decision. Like, one of them was this, did you watch the Raider-Bronco game by chance, or catch highlights, Breakman?
I probably saw the highlights. I don't know if I don't remember if I saw the game or not.
Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree got in a fight.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That stuff happens all the time. Like, it just happens. Like, there are fights in almost every game that we either see or don't see. If they're major, we see them. But we see punches thrown all the time in sports. And they got penalized for 2 games for being passionate about what they do. And I don't condone fighting. As a matter of fact, I think fighting should be outlawed in all sports, including the main one, hockey. I don't think fighting adds anything to hockey other than a bunch of dude bros getting excited that, you know, two people are off balance with, you know, punches that have no real, you know, muster behind them. I do like boxing because I think it's a skill, rather than, you know, just mindless.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
There we go. Hello.
if you're not going to speak, then I'm going to hang up because I'm doing a show right now.
I agree. I totally
agree. Seriously, this is rude. Say something.
Something.
Asshole.
But I don't know. I just kind of I lost my love for football this year, Breakman. Although, I will say, the last game, remember we bet on the Bronco-Bengal game?
Yes,
even when I lose, I win. the Broncos lost that game, and I actually picked against the Broncos for the first time, I think, ever. Right?
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't root against my team. Like,
I don't either.
I mean, I was kind of actually still rooting for you, so.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to lose, but at the same time, actually, like, I don't want to lose the bet either.
I know. So. I didn't want to lose the bet, but it's like kind of blasphemous to go against your team, you know? But
yeah, like, I hate the people that bet against their team, but that's not really what we're doing because we're betting for our team to get draft picks.
Right. And
so we still technically were betting for the good of our team.
Yep. And my team is in line for a top 5 draft pick, so I feel okay with that. Yeah, it's becoming a real race between the Browns, the Giants, the 49ers, and the Broncos for that number one pick, man. Can you imagine the Broncos getting the number one pick and getting someone like Sam Darnold if he pans out, or that other kid from either Oklahoma or the other one from USC? It'd be kind of cool. I would hope that we would have a better team then. I mean, our defense is good enough, just the offense always fucking sucks. But all right. Anything else you want to talk about, Breakman?
We're talking about the next Star Wars movie in chat.
Let's talk about that. I'm trying to avoid spoilers. I heard there's a spoiler in the trailers.
I'm sure there is.
I've only seen the teaser. I didn't see the full trailer for that. I mean, I had to for Infinity War because my favorite is Thanos. My favorite villain of all time is Thanos, so right. I'm really, really happy.
And the trailer they're going to give you now is probably going to, for the Infinity War, probably gave us a spoiler or two But for the most part, it's not going to really ruin anything. Like we expected Spider-Man to be a movie, for instance.
Right. We expected Spider-Man. We expected Black Panther and Wakanda, yeah. I believe. There really wasn't too much, too spoilery of stuff going on in that Infinity. I mean, we knew they were going to go up against Thanos and there was going to be a big war. So I don't see any big time spoilers. Maybe somebody saw something that I didn't, but I didn't see any major ones. The Jedi one, I'm not looking at it because I don't want to be spoiled. I want to go have an unspoiled experience at the theater. So that should be fun. What else? What else is going on in the news that you want to talk about, Brady?
I don't know. Back to Star Wars. We're talking about hoping that the next one's going to be good because we definitely have complaints about the last movie.
Which one? The Rogue?
Force Awakens.
Oh, the Force Awakens I liked okay. It was just more rehash of New Hope.
I enjoyed it for the most part. I really liked it, and I can go back and watch it. But the last, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
Were fucking retarded.
Yeah. I did like Rogue.
I gotta stop using retarded. I gotta stop saying that.
No, you don't, man. You can say whatever you want, man.
Yeah, I know, but I know people that are handicapped, and I wouldn't say that to them. So I don't want to use that as an insult either. It's, you know.
It's
but it was just the last 20 minutes of the movie, suddenly, like, Rey, who's never had any training, becomes, like, the super-powered, like, Jedi.
Yeah.
And if you go back to, like, the last saga, like, it took Luke the entire Empire Strikes Back movie to become a badass, and he still lost at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Rey is suddenly able to beat she's suddenly able to beat a fucking guy who murdered an entire Jedi temple.
So you think it's going to be Rey versus Snoke at the end of this one? And no. Rey's going to get her ass kicked? Because I heard Rey is not going to be back after this movie. So that
I don't know. There's always – it reminds me of the original trilogy. Like there were – at the time, there were definitely rumors. There were a lot of rumors. Like going into Return of the Jedi, like apparently like Luke was – now evil, like he joins the dark side. Like those are the type of rumors back then. So I wouldn't put too much stock into the rumors. But Dungeon Buster in chat says all of a sudden Rey went Super Saiyan.
Yeah, exactly. Super
like,
Saiyan.
Yeah, like all of a sudden she's like at the moment she's strapped to a chair. And you think back to maybe Luke or something. What would have Luke done before he had any training? He would have maybe tried to use the Force, pull something to him or something.
Yeah.
Suddenly, she knows how to use the Jedi mind trick.
She must be like
she has
like,
never seen anybody use the Jedi mind trick.
Well,
let
maybe,
alone been taught how to use it.
Well,
but suddenly she's able to like she's the master of
it. It's sort of like it reminds me. Maybe she's like the LeBron James of the Force, dude. Like some people are.
I think they're going to try and explain that all with the second one. I think you're right. I think she's going to be like she's amazing with the Force and such.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think her gem had something to do with it too. So maybe that's something that helps her out.
But just saying, as like a longtime fan of Star Wars, it was just like, what the fuck?
Out of place. Yeah, it was very
like, how the hell did she do that?
You know, since we're talking Star Wars, did you like Rogue One, dude? Because I liked Rogue One quite a lot.
Yeah, Rogue One I liked a lot more than Force Awakens.
Yeah,
Rogue One was it was a different experience for a Star Wars movie. We talked about it back then, but it was a war movie.
Yep, definitely.
Which we haven't seen from a movie from a franchise called Star Wars, other than the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I'm gonna give I'm gonna wait to pass judgment on this one because people are saying that this might follow the same formula as Empire. And if it does, it's got a chance of being a pretty great movie because I remember Empire being the best of the trilogy from the first.
I know everybody loves Empire, but
I love it.
I love Empire too, but it wasn't my absolute favorite of them.
You like Return?
It was kind of the most confusing too because the time. What was going on with the time? I've never been able to understand.
I can't understand
Luke
either.
Luke was on Dagobah learning the Force, and he comes out of that and he's a total badass.
Yep.
And it looks like maybe he's doing like weeks or maybe months of training. But then you go over to the Cloud City and like and before Cloud City, them invading the Empire, and it looks like they've been doing that for maybe a day or two.
Yeah, this maybe goes
like,
to...
It was really... that was a really weird, like...
Weird time experience
yeah. between those. I've never been able to understand, really, like, how much time was he on Dagobah and how long were they in Cloud City.
There's a Reddit of Star Wars that delves into all those intricate details. I think they explain some of that in a couple of the books. I can't remember off the top of my head what they were, but they were pretty good received books. But I agree with you, man. The Star Wars timeline is about as confusing as like what's going on in Lost. I don't know if you remember Lost, like trying to keep up.
I never watched Lost.
Actually. Lost is very, I like Lost for the most part, except for the stupid smoke monster, but their timelines and their kind of like plot holes were so weird.
Dungebuster in chat said, I felt bad for everyone that bought action figures for Rogue One.
Yeah, everybody dies at the end. It's like, those are gonna be
unless you bought like a Darth Vader action figure, you still alive then.
Oh, damn, dude. I still have...
And that was that was weird to me, like reading about it later. That scene was completely added on.
Which one?
That wasn't in their original script. Him like walking down the hallway... being one of the most badasses that I think I've ever seen.
Oh, in Rogue One, yeah, that was
like that ending was freaking amazing.
Yeah,
like,
that was
the scene they added on later. Like, okay.
Yeah, that dude that made that movie like extra special because that's the first time.
So too.
That was the first time we ever saw Darth Vader really kick some ass. You know, like
yeah, like that. And that kind of really reinforced, like, how scary Vader was.
Yes, yes. I don't feel the same way with Kylo Ren at all. I think he's kind of, like, kind of a boring...
I know. The only part of the first movie where he was really like, oh, I kind of like him now is when he was throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only time. I hope they make him a little more badass. What is it? Captain Phantasm. She's really interesting. I hope they do a lot more with her. That'll be fun.
Phasma, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Phantasm.
Phantasm.
Captain Phantasm.
She
is actually supposed to have more of a story arc, in this one, but they said in the original, she was going to have a more of a story. She was going to have a story arc. Like she's one of these main characters. No, she wasn't. So who knows?
Dungeon Buster says, you know you want to say it, Frank. Kylo's too emo. He really is, man. He's like that emo... I hesitate to say stoner, because I'm stoner, but like the emo stoner that kind of keeps to himself in high school.
I didn't get that impression. More like the emo rich kid.
Yeah, maybe. That's even better.
He seems like really spoiled, you know?
Yeah. So in other words,
like, didn't he seem spoiled to you?
Yeah,
like, he
yeah,
seemed
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like,
so in other words, he's Donald Trump Jr. So
yes,
there you go.
For some reason, because we know his parents didn't spoil him. So maybe that's why he joined with Snoke. Maybe Snoke was like, hey, little rich kid, here's some stuff for you.
Is it just me?
Here's
or
some bitches.
Does Snoke look like he's related to the troll in Lord of the Rings? Doesn't he look like him?
I think they're done by Andy Sorkin. That's probably why.
Okay, I was like, doesn't that look like the troll from Lord of the Rings? Like seriously, I don't know, man. Are we gonna see extended Snoke this time around or no?
Probably. Yeah, not. We're gonna find out more about Snoke.
Hopefully, because Snoke is supposedly a badass.
I would imagine maybe we're gonna find out how big he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He looked like, what, like 20 feet tall?
Yeah, we're going to find out if that was just an image or if he is actually that big.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that was just an image.
I agree. I don't think it's going to be that big. I am excited for
Although,
the Star
if
Wars.
They go, if he's that big, I'm going to go, cool. Let me say, I don't think it is, but I hope it is.
It's like Sauron in Lord of the Rings, man. It's like awe-inspiring, like when you see this big-ass giant on the you know, or Game of, even better, Game of Thrones, that kick-ass giant that just boots like 20 people at a time. Like he's just...
I've never seen.
Oh, dude, you got to check out Game of Thrones, man. It's.
I know. I've heard it's a good show. Well, maybe when it comes to Netflix or Hulu, I'll get to see it.
Just do what everybody else does, dude. Just fucking go to Yiffy or whatever else, man.
I don't want to do stuff like that.
I know, but dude, it's well worth it. Buy the seasons, dude. They're not that expensive. Like 15
bucks. Yeah, they I think they're on sale during Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah. At least 1 through 3 were at
Best Buy. Yeah, I saw on DVD they had Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yes, and that's an
if they had it on Blu-ray, I would have bought it, but they only had it on DVD.
I'm there like, is there is one episode in season 2. I can't wait to have you seen it or are you Oh dude. There's
no, I really want to. Like I love those movies. They were so fantastic.
Oh dude, the second season there's one episode that is one for the fucking ages, dude. And I think if Dungeon Buster you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's so good, man. And it'll surprise you, dude. Ash versus Evil Dead surprised the hell out of me. I think that's an endearing, cool series, man. It's really cool. What have you been?
I'm always down for Bruce Campbell.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think he makes everything pretty engaging, and he does. To put him back in the role that really made, like, introduced us to Bruce Campbell. Yeah, I definitely
back in the day I kind of wanted him to play Punisher when he was younger, because he has that kind of like snarky kind of, like, if he killed somebody he'd make a one-liner. Like he would have been a better Punisher than Dolph Lundgren. But
yeah, Dolph Lundgren was really bad for that role.
Yeah, it wasn't. That wasn't.
And I've said it many times. Like I liked the Thomas Jane movie, but he was not. He was not Punisher. Frank Castle.
No, the Punisher series, dude. I want to touch on that real briefly. No spoilers, but I liked it. Not as much as I could have, though. I thought. They toned him down except for like 3 or 4 episodes. But the final episode was fucking amazing. Or not the second to find the one where, you know, there was a fight between somebody.
That was a lot of, it was the last few episodes or last couple episodes were him versus were one-on-one fights.
Yes. Like. And that, the mirror, that's all I got to say, dude. That was. To me,
that is one of the few times where I really genuinely start feeling bad for the bad guy.
Yeah, that's exactly
that was
right.
Like I just like I was like, oh my,
that was
oh
a Punisher
my,
kill.
I can't believe he's in this. The cries the guy was making when it was happening.
Yep,
just like oh there my god,
there wasn't a Punisher kill since I think the video game. That I liked more than that particular kill, man. It was a thing of beauty.
I don't know, the sledgehammer episode. Ooh, the first episode with the sledgehammer was really fucking good.
That was good too, but man, the mirror, dude, like that one. Boy, oh boy, man!
Like I've never felt bad for a bad guy before. Then, like, oh my god.
Oh man, and that guy's still alive, man. That's
I know really that was good. The worst.
I can't wait to see that.
You know what I wanted? I always wanted to play that PlayStation 2 Punisher game where one of the gameplay elements was to actually like torture people.
Yeah.
I never got to play that game.
Yeah.
Because Dungeon Buster in chat's bringing up the arcade Punisher, which was that was a gun game, wasn't it?
Beat 'em up. It was a beat 'em up game.
Oh, it was beat 'em up? What game am I thinking of?
I don't know, man. But that there was one on the Xbox that was basically a torture simulator, dude. It was pretty good. It wasn't gameplay wise, but like just the things that you could do to people were pretty unique and cool and whatever. I did have a couple of minor problems with the Punisher. I felt like I'm big into like movies, like the actual process of movie making. And there were a lot of scenes that were kind of framed wrong. Like they would have characters like in each other's bubbles. And I know that was kind of a framing issue, like they needed to get both characters into the same shot so it looked like they were about to kiss or something.
That is something I see in a lot of shows, I can't really fault them for that because I see it all the time.
I know,
but it does bother me when people like For instance, I did have another Squeedo, and I completely forgot about it until this moment right now.
Go for it.
I see it all the time in the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
People like basically face talking. I worked in retail for a long time. Mm-hmm. One of the things I had to experience was face talkers.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most horrifying experiences ever, because literally they're about an inch or two away from your face. They want to talk to you. And it's just like, I'm you're violating my space in ways I never could imagine right now, dude. You need to back up.
Yep. Absolutely, dude. I can agree with you more, man.
Tiger Claw said that it was a Punisher game on the NES. I think that's the game I'm thinking of.
I think that
was the gun game.
Yes, I think you're right.
It wasn't, you didn't like use a gun, but it was basically like him like shooting forward, I think.
Yep.
I think that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank Tiger Claw.
The other minor kind of issue that I had with it was, where was Daredevil? Not that I wanted Daredevil to show up in this universe, because, you know, it's the Punisher.
Well, no, he is a part of this universe. But right. I think Daredevil at this point is still recovering from what happened.
But, okay, there's two major explosions and Daredevil doesn't do anything about it? Like, really? Like, to me, that just doesn't... That maybe they'll clear it up in the next Daredevil season, but, dude, knowing Daredevil, he could have been on crutches, and he would have been trying to at least see what the fuck
That's a good point. I never really thought of that while I was watching the show, because I was just too much with, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. No, it was good, man. There's no question. I mean,
I liked it a lot. I think I enjoyed that more than the... definitely a lot more than... Iron Fist.
Oh God, Iron Fist.
You know, everybody did. But I enjoyed it more than the Defenders. I really enjoyed the Punisher. Like he nailed the role. He was basically Frank Castle is an asshole.
Yeah, basically. I thought it was pretty good, man. I didn't have any major issues with it at all. Just like I said, some of the camera shots were a little questionable to me, and I really did wonder where Luke Cage and Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, were. I could see that like diminishing how you felt about it, because I didn't really think about that when I was watching it.
I mean, I'm watching it and I'm like, I mean, no matter where Devil is, he's gonna hear this fucking explosion, or it's gonna be on TV, you know, and. You know, he'd want to know at least who's maybe fucking Kingpin was back, or, you know, some bullshittery is going on. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of an odd choice. Plus the fact that what's her face with, you know, his kind of love interest throughout the series, you would have thought she would have at least, you know, gave information to Murdoch and Frog, but whatever. Very minor. It's a good series. Watch it.
Yeah. Well, I think she's maybe the Froggy, but I think she's still mad at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
But my other Sweeto, the one I completely forgot to mention, was the Arrowverse had their 4-part crossover again, and this time it was actually a 4-part crossover.
Ooh, nice.
So it started with Supergirl, and the last year. Basically, it was a Supergirl episode, and then in the last 5 minutes, like she's like, Cisco shows up from Flash, and then she joins it. So in the last 5 minutes of that show, now this one basically starts out with the wedding of Iris and Barry. Mm. So the Flash is getting married when suddenly Nazis show up.
Oh wow!
because it's DC and they just go all out on this show, and it was just a fucking blast to watch them. All 4 parts of it were completely tied to this Nazi invasion, stopping the Nazis. Everybody was in for it. I can't really think of any major characters they left out.
I haven't seen any of those DC series, and I know I'm missing out, man. Arrow. Supergirl, what's the other ones?
Arrow, Flash. Supergirl, The Flash, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow,
which sometimes is my favorite of the all four shows.
Oh,
I really love what they do with DC Legends of Tomorrow. The first season with that show was really like, let's take some spaghetti and throw it against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play off whatever sticks, you know. So it was the most uneven show you could probably ever see, the first season of it. But it was still fun to watch, and it definitely had its good spots. The second season, they'd really found themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to build on that, and they had they had the Legion of Doom.
Ooh.
You know, so the Legends were fighting the Legion of Doom.
I like.
They really embraced it. Like, this is going to be the most comic book show of the comic book shows.
I hate when Fox cancels series before they get their legs. You know, some series take a few seasons to kind of get them the air between their, you know, beneath their wings, or, you know, so to speak. So I'm glad to hear that they're, you know, the given shows, like, because I saw the first two episodes of Legends of Tomorrow, and I was like, oh, I'm not feeling it, and I dropped it. But it's nice to hear that they, you know, kept going, and it's catching, you know, it's getting better as it goes.
Yeah, if the second season is on Netflix, I recommend you start with the second season.
Yeah.
Like Rory, Mick Rory, for instance, is fantastic.
I'll try to get through all those too, because I know those are fun series to watch. And Gotham too. Is Gotham in the same universe as? No.
Gotham's okay. Definitely not in the same universe. Gotham, the first, I don't know, a few seasons was one of the weirdest, most uneven shows I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But last season,
yeah,
was really good.
Yeah,
they started out with the story of Mad Hatter, and they found a really good actor to play the Mad Hatter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from there, they really started embracing the Riddler.
Yeah.
And really, it was really entertaining. Last season and this season has been entertaining, but at the same time, we kind of feel like I personally feel like they're pushing Batman, but at the same time, he's still really young to be Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, but while you're doing that, I don't want him like acting like a kid. If you're gonna make him Batman, then he's gotta stop acting like a kid.
Yeah, Tired Claw in chat says
I don't think they know what they're decided to do on that yet. But most of the show is really good.
Yeah, Tired Claw.
And they added Solomon Grundy this year. Like,
ooh,
yeah, like some like really you brought a zombie into the show.
Yeah, why not?
Like you just are not fucking afraid to do anything.
I love that. That's why the Marvel.
Oh, and this year Pig. They brought Pig in.
Ooh,
I don't know where Toad is, but they brought Pig in, and he's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are nailing the villains. You really are.
They're basically doing it comic book style. I think that's why the MCU has it all over in the movies, is because they are more comic booky. You know what I mean? They're not as serious toned as, even though there's real kind of threats, there's a more friendly kind of colorful tone to Marvel movies that I think people...
Yeah.
Like a little bit better in DC. What DC?
Yeah, well, in the DC Arrowverse, each show has kind of a different tone. Like Supergirl, for instance, is more of a feminist, progressive type show. Where Flash is kind of the easygoing, upbeat show, and Arrow is the dark and brooding. You know, like if they had Batman. That'd be, you know, he'd be like that.
Right.
And then DC Legends of Tomorrow, like I said, is the most comic booky of, I think, of all the shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
and
is cool.
And they're actually adding next year Black Lightning.
Ooh, that'll be interesting. I'm interested for the, not in the DC universe, but I'm interested in Cloak and Dagger in the MCU.
I wondered about that. I saw a trailer for that months ago, and I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I really haven't heard much about it either. I think it's going to be interesting. I like playing with Cloak and Dagger in the Marvel Puzzle Quest game, because they kind of regenerate health, and there's this whole thing. I didn't read a lot of Cloak and Dagger in the comics, but I'm familiar with them. They have this pocket dimension dynamic that's going on, that they kind of counteract one another, and one character can put people in a pocket dimension and vice versa, and it's pretty fun. I hope I hope that series is good. I'm gonna watch it. Looks interesting, and it
does... I haven't seen. I've barely watched any previews for it, but I know like the first few episodes out of The Runaways.
I'm not a Hulu subscriber, but I am interested in The Runaways. I hope all those series do good. Tiger Claw and Chat, I want to do chat real quick before we get off here. You guys heard that the Arrow subreddit became the Punisher Reddit after the Elicity wedding on Arrow. I did not know that. I have never seen an episode of Arrow. And that's weird because I like all those DC characters too. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Arrow, you know, all of them. I'm a big fan of all, even Green Lantern. Green Lantern has had some really good stories in the comics. I wish they would bring him back for another go at the movies. It's sort of, you know what I equate it to? Green Lantern in the DC movie universe is like Hulk in the MCU. They don't really have anything to do. You know, they don't do anything super interesting
with him. I think it's, you know, he's so powerful, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is what I think happens a lot of time with Superman. It's just he's so powerful, like, what do we do?
What do we do with – well, there's a lot of interesting storylines that they could do with – but it would require, like
– No, I agree. I just think they're not that bright.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that loud?
Snyder was
Tiger Claw in chat says about the whole Reddit apparently was taken over by Punisher fans. If anyone from – and I'm quoting now – if anyone from the CW network or Arrow writers is reading this, the reason Arrow subreddit has changed to Punisher is because, well, Arrow is no longer what it used to be. Reddit user Gentoki79 writes in his subreddit sticky post, Season 5 was back to form, but Season 6 is a utter disappointment. The forced Elicity wedding spoiler – prove that the show is for shippers. It's a shame the writers haven't learned.
Wow, that's pretty scathing.
It's not going to be the same as the comics. Like, they want to do different things.
Yeah.
For instance, The Flash made Savitar Barry from the past. He wasn't like that in the comics.
Yeah.
Savitar was Savitar in the comics.
Yeah. You know, they have but to make adjustments.
I think we all think that was really cool.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. As fans of the show. Not you, Frank. You
well, really I'm not much. A
I mean, but,
I'm a
but,
fan.
But I'm saying, like, fans of the show, like, yeah. I think we're all like, yeah, Evil Barry, we like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but that's
sure.
not something that happened in comics.
If Weiland was here, he'd have all Jeez. Kinds of stuff to say on Arrow and Flash and Reverse
yeah.
Flash and all that.
I wish these guys were here or watched it. I mean, Tiger Claw watches it, so he can say things, but he's...
I'm not surprised Tiger Claw is here. You know why, Breakman? Because he's always here when I do Grindr Dance Party, and after the show, it's going to be Frank versus Chat and it's going to be on Twitch, because I can't do it on YouTube, so you're going to have to go to Twitch to see the Grindr Dance Party and interact in that chat. But I think that's about all we got for this week, Breakman, unless you have anything you want to talk about.
No, I like that the characters finally got married and we, like, get it over with. I'm sick of, like, the will they, won't they type bullshit.
Oh, yeah, but that – see, that always brings in viewers, dude, and it's usually
– Yeah, I know, but – and people want to keep that up forever and ever for some reason, like, the will you, won't you. I don't know why. Like, just – I want it to fucking end. Like, either you want to be with each other or you fucking don't.
Right. Right.
And I don't want to fucking deal with it anymore, so choose.
You need to write it, man. Go be a writer for Arrow. Breakman, let's go with your plugs, dude. We'll end the show. Give me a few minutes to set up for Grindr Dance Party after, and we'll
have Tiger Claw hasn't watched any of those shows. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Okay, I'm by myself. That's, yeah. Oh, well.
There you go.
So you can follow me at break_man and at RP Grinders on Twitter.
Cool.
And,
yeah, send
I need to go get dinner cooking. So,
yeah I gotta go.
Let's get this show in the oven.
yeah, for sure. Let's put the bun in the oven. It was a fun show, Breakman. Next week, yeah. Eric will be back. Mug may or may not be back. I don't know. So if people are asking about Mug, don't ask me. I don't, you know, I'm not his dad. I don't, you know, hold hands.
Yeah, Tiger Claw has a point. He says he prefers the movies because watching a TV show is a commitment.
Yeah,
right. It definitely is a commitment.
That's a thing, man. Like, I was watching Punisher, and it was, really difficult for me to sit there, but I wanted to, binge watch The Punisher. I totally know what you're saying, Tiger Claw. Like, I think that's the reason I haven't started on Arrow or any of the other ones. But I think I'll get those eventually. You know, those are on my list of things to watch.
So. Another thing with watching TV shows is you start to wonder after a while, where did they get all these thugs? Yeah. Like, where are all these criminals at? Like, every episode they're beating up multiple criminals.
Yeah. Yeah,
where the hell are all these people coming from?
Yeah, exactly. But there's a bunch of stuff coming up. Man, obviously Black Panther's coming out, and that to me looks amazing. All kinds of shows. I heard American Horror Story was pretty good this year, so I'm going to have to get that on my queue. I still haven't seen Hotel. I saw Roanoke, but I didn't see Hotel. Gosh, man, I've even heard that they're going to bring Hannibal back, which would be awesome. That was a great show. All kinds of stuff. But, anyways. All right, that's going to do it for this
week. Oh, and you know what? Never mind, he's not here, so I won't bring it up. But there was a show that was recommended to me by Freak5Cast on Twitter that I watched.
Which one?
But why say on Twitter? On Netflix that Freak5Cast recommended, it was really good.
Which
one? As another proven point of Netflix has awesome shows and bad movies.
Yeah, they do. Well, they got some good movies, but
I watched the show Big Mouth.
Oh, it's so good.
I recommend that.
It's funny. It's juvenile and stuff like that.
It's kids going through puberty. Yeah. But it's told. But it's an adult perspective, yeah. Basically, because yeah. It's made for adults. But
definitely not kid-friendly, Big Mouth.
Yes. For people like us who have – for everybody who's been through puberty is what this show is made for. Yeah.
Also I want to tell you guys, I've been looking at a lot of 4K vids, and it's fucking amazing. 4K is everything it's cracked up to be. It's really good. There's another show on Netflix. It's an anime. I don't know if you watch any anime at all, mm-hmm. Breakman, but Ajin is really good. I liked Ajin a lot.
Ajin?
Yeah. It's a Netflix original, but it's really, really fucking good. It's sort of a horror kind of anime, but it's pretty brutal, but I don't know. It's got a really good story, man, and a villain mm-hmm. that you love to hate. So it's got all the ingredients, mm-hmm. man.
Kind of villains.
Yeah, for sure. Sato. I'll never forget that name. All right, that's about all we got time for today, guys. Give me a few minutes if you're in chat to get set up for GDP. It's going to be over on Twitch, so I will see your comments in Twitch. And starting next week, just a reminder, I will have the Wicked Radio chat open, but I'm going to move everything the week after to Twitch and YouTube. But Twitch is going to be the main chat. The Wicked Radio chat, there's so many chats, I want to get them down to one or two, so that way I don't have to do 50 million things all at once. So, all right, that's about it. Follow me on Twitter, @FrankBranches. Thank you to everybody in chat, which consisted of Dungeon Buster, Tiger Claw, and, of course, Bridget over on Twitch. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're listening to us on Archive, we moved our show back to our old time slot on Friday, 7 Eastern time. Join us live on YouTube and Twitch. If you can, that'd be awesome. And join the fun. Join the fun that we have on the show. So until next week, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. GDP coming up next in a few minutes. Till then, we are out. Later, guys and gal.